God, you know that I'm going to be speaking today at Woodland about that passage with the blind man, the one where you ask him what you could do for him. And Lord, I'm going to begin that message this morning. I'm going to begin it by asking the people there that when you ask them that question, what is it they're going to say? When you ask the people of Woodland, what is it that I can do for you? How are they going to respond to God? And so Lord, as I know that's what I'm going to do, I have to answer that question now. And so, Lord, in preparation for that, when you ask me what it is that I would have you do, I would ask, Lord, that you would bless Woodland financially. God, that's just what I want. And Lord, I just want us to have money. I want us to have money so that we don't have to worry about it. I want us to have money so we don't have to, so we can just do your will and we don't have to worry about where all that's going to come from. God, just bless us with money, Lord. What do you mean, God? That's not a very nice question. Do I want you to bless Woodland or do I just want you to give us some money? God, that's not fair. You knew what I meant. You know my heart. You know my heart. Okay, God. So maybe I have been preoccupied with money recently. But God, in all honesty, you don't have to worry about money the way we do. You have everything. Everything is yours, God. What? Of course I'm yours. I'm a pastor. I'm your servant. I'm going to go share on your behalf with your people. Yes, God. That does make sense. If I'm yours and you have everything, then it makes sense that I should not have to worry about money, but that I can trust you to provide. Yes, I have preached on that recently. Okay, God. So now that this prayer has changed my heart, let me change my prayer. I pray that you will use me as your servant, not to worry about money and feel it's a problem I must fix, but to help me lead your church, Woodland, in receiving and managing not only our finances, but all of our resources in the manner you direct. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, wait. I'm not finished yet? Do I trust you? Yes, God, I trust you. What do you mean then, show it? God, you're just not being very nice to me right now. No, God, that's not true. I was not saying a prayer and then turning my back on you to go do my own thing. Wow. I never thought of it that way. I guess if I am trusting you, I will be willing to follow you and not expecting you to follow me. Oh, God. Okay, God. So trusting you means calling out to you, staying close to you. Yes, Lord, I understand how that's important for Woodland. For your church as well. Yes, God, I understand how that's more important than how much money we're going to get in the offering plate this morning. God, I ask with all my heart that our worship this morning be filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray that I and all your people will come with open ears and open hearts
as we receive, may we also give you our whole selves in worship. God, beyond Sunday morning worship, I pray also for our small groups, our Sunday morning small groups, our during the week small groups. I pray for the teachers that you will give them words and insight into Scripture that is from you. That those who have ears to hear will experience not only a connection through the Scripture and their relationship with you, but that it's a relationship in Scripture that will remain relevant throughout every hour of every day. All this I pray. That's what I thought. We're not done still. What do you mean that's not enough, God? Yes, I know the passage that says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If it's a test, I know it's in James chapter 1. Read more scripture. God, this isn't the passage that we were focusing on today. Yes, God, you're the author. I will read. Starting with verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For if we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink, even so the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God, I think I get what you're saying. We need each other to be the body in the way that you have intended. In order for us to receive the full blessing, we must work together with each other, doing what each of us is called to do, but doing it for a common goal of lifting up the body of Christ. God, I know this makes sense and it seems like it should be easy, but you and I both know it's not sometimes, God. The evil one is able to deceive us and make us think we're not capable or worthy of contributing to the body. And then for others of us, he brings division and causes us to withhold our gifts from the body. And even for others, Satan simply keeps us busy doing our own thing that we honestly feel we don't have time to be a part of the body, which is the very thing for which we were created. Yeah. So I pray at this moment that you will bind all the power of the evil one that in any way seeks to distract your church from being who you have created us to be. Okay, God. I have a sense you want me to reflect on the end of today's passage once more. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I understand, Lord. We are to call out to you. We are to stay close to you. We are to trust you. We are to be a part of the body of Christ. We will experience your light, and this will be your blessing to us, but not only us. For we are to be the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. We are to let our light shine before others that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven. God, thank you for the blessing of this time you and I've spent together this morning, even though it was a little bit longer than I thought it was. Would you please lead the way as I seek to make my way to the sanctuary and lead your people in understanding how we might receive the fullness of your blessing. And God, thanks for helping me to figure out how to ask you for what I really want. So because of my prayer time this morning, we don't have quite as much time for a message. But I want us to think for a moment, if you want to turn back to your scripture, Mark 10, 46 through 52, and you may even want to glance at the outline in your bulletin. I want to start with the question, what is your handicap? And handicap might not be the right word. I just use handicap because it was talking about the blind man in the scripture today.
And so when Jesus asked him what it was that he wanted this to be taken care of. He wanted to see. When Jesus asked, what is it that I can do for you? He said, heal me.
As God asks us today, what is it he can do for us? What is your answer? What is your struggle? What is your challenge? Will you enter into that conversation honestly with God right now? Because if I believe if you do, something will happen.
Something probably that you don't expect. Let's look back at what happened with this guy when he asked Jesus to heal him. He healed him. He made him so he could see. But that wasn't the biggest thing that happened to the blind man.
You see, because if it was when he was made to see, he would have gone off and he would have been excited about doing the things he hadn't been able to do when he wasn't able to see. It would have been more excitement just about that sight than anything else. But what did the blind man do after Jesus healed him? What did he do? What does Scripture say that he did? He followed him. So he obviously had to be excited that he could see like he had never seen before. But instead of just getting so excited about that thing that he thought he had wanted so badly, he came to understand that through a relationship with Jesus Christ, he was able to have more than just his sight.
Amen.
So as we come to God with our struggles,
with our challenges, if we want to call them handicaps, whatever they may be.
And if we really and truly open up to God and tell Him what our desires are, and listen to the response and pay attention, God will do magnificent things. It will change. Our prayer will be changed. What we're praying for, what we start out praying for, may change by the time we're done praying because we realize that either that wasn't really what we wanted or God wanted something that was so much more for us. You know, another thing that happens too is our idea of what success is. See, because as it started out, success for the blind man was being able to see, but he saw that success, that being healed, was so much more.
If you take the example that I had, and yes, this was a dramatic interpretation and something I did as a prayer, as a part of my message this morning, but there's a lot of reality. Because there's times that I, as a pastor, have struggled greatly about the finances of the church. And so,
in the midst of that, I've fallen into a trap of thinking if we just get everything right with our finances, everything is going to be fine, because that's how I was gauging success.
Success to God isn't having all the money you need.
Amen.
It's also not what God wants the church to be about. The church is about
being a part of the body of Christ. It's about serving. It's about trusting God,
and it's about living our lives in such a way so that other people that are in midst of struggle can look and see that example and know that there's hope and that there's promise. And the church isn't just something up here that's so high and mighty they can't be a part of it. It's something that is beautiful and wonderful and struggles and is a part of who God is and reaches down to them because God cares. That's what success is. And you know the scary thing is that when we get to a point that we have success in our terms, when we have all the money we need so we can control things and make them happen the way we think we're supposed to, we're a lot less likely to rely on God. Yes, we're likely to say, thank you, God, for this. Look at what we're able to do because of the blessing you give us. But do we really rely on God in the same way? So when we start asking God what it is that we want, that idea of success and what that really looks like begins to change. And so for the people of Christ, we've learned that while God will bless us, and what I believe, and this came out of a meeting that we had this past Wednesday night with the finance committee and our deacons. And I want you to hear this. This is not something I'm making up at all whatsoever. They said in order for us to grow and be the church we need to be, for us to be who we need to be financially, for us to be who we need to be in this community, you know what they said we need to do? We all together need to be willing to serve according to God's leading.
Amen.
And you know what? They're convinced that if we serve and pay attention and are part of the body the way God leads, that then we can have faith that He will provide.
Amen.
For us to do whatever He wants. Amen. Us to do.
So that's the challenge I come at you with this morning. Not from me, from the leaders of our church, but more so, I think, from God. Amen. A couple more things really quickly. One, the man that was blind, his problem was real, and but he also believed in Jesus enough that he was yelling out to Jesus. He yelled out to Jesus so much so that it was probably embarrassing to the people around him. In fact, we're pretty sure it is because they told him to be quiet and stop doing that. You know, there are times that we might need to yell just a little bit louder, not because God isn't paying attention, but because we need to know that we're being sincere and calling on the one that can really and truly give us the help we say we want. And as we do that, as we reach out to God, and we need to do that on a regular basis, and not just when we're in trouble and when we're struggling, but it needs to be an ongoing conversation. So with that being said, what is it, if God comes to you today and says, what can I do for you? What is your answer?
That's not something, I don't expect you to answer it to me, but I expect you to have that answer today. It's not rhetorical in the sense of, it's just something you leave and think about. You need to have that conversation with God. God wants every one of us to have it. And not only as individuals, we need to have it as individuals, but we need to have that conversation as a church.
Right.
Who does God want us as Woodland to be? So when God asks, what can He do for us? What do we really want God to do for us right now? And we as a body need to pray about that and follow through on that and listen. The past three Sundays, we've considered Mark chapter 10. Two Sundays ago, we considered the statement Jesus made, saying all things are possible through God. Last week, we looked at Jesus making the statement, you don't know what you're asking. Because sometimes when we start praying, when we start asking things, we aren't paying enough attention. And what I said last week is that doesn't mean you need to quit praying. It just means you need to pay attention to God's leading. And then today we get to the point that God, the God of the universe, is really and truly asking you. Did you get this today? The God of the universe is asking you, what can I do for you today? And it's the God of the universe that has the power and ability to respond in every resource that's ever existed to answer that question for you, but not only answer it with words, but with action. But His answer is not limited by what we can imagine.
Amen.
So I ask you today, I'm going to ask our musicians to come up. And we're going to have our last song. And this is going to be a little bit different. It's actually going to be on the screen. I don't know how many of you noticed the screen didn't go up today as it usually does. That wasn't a slip. I told Caleb not to do that. Because we're going to sing a song that is very intentional. And as you listen to that, I want you to think about the light. The light that we have in our life that can be there if we simply allow God to be a part of our lives on a regular basis. And that light is so bright and so powerful, it changes the world around us. Let's stand together and sing like we mean it. I saw the light. If you haven't seen that light yet, I'd love to have a conversation with you.